Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we will talk with Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer, former high school and college coach Sam Alford. We will talk the Indiana Cutters. Former IU women's basketball player Tyra Buss has a new job. We will talk Indiana football recruiting and a whole lot more. So let's talk sports. We'll start with the Indiana Cutters semi-pro football team getting a 32-0 victory over the Joliet Buccaneers Saturday night at Danville High School. The Cutters started the game off with a bang, with Dex Grimble taking a 77-yard kickoff return to the house for the touchdown, getting the Cutters on the board 6-0 just 13 seconds in the game. Sidney Moore found Marquise Feldman on a 26-yard screen pass with 3:06 to go before halftime to make it 12-0. Moore added another touchdown pass, a 17-yarder to Terrell Williamson, to make it 18-0 with 8:34 to go in the fourth. The Cutters defense got in on the act when Dre Key recovered a fumble in the end zone to make it 26-0 after the two-point conversion, and then Anthony Hicks topped it off with a 1-yard touchdown run to make it 32-0 for the shutout victory. Sidney Moore was 7 of 11 passing, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. The Cutters only ran 21 offensive plays all night. 5 receivers got in on the act for the Cutters. Also, they were 9 for 26 rushing with a touchdown. The Cutters defense held the Buccaneers to minus 26 yards of total offense. The Buccaneers carried the ball 31 times for negative 59 yards and were 5 of 7 passing for 33 yards with no touchdowns and no interceptions. It is the second game this season the Cutters defense has held a team to negative total yards offensively. They did it in the first game against the Quad City Titans. The Cutters are 3-2 on the season, and up next it is the big game, rivalry game against the Indiana Tornadoes Saturday night at Danville High School, 7 o'clock. Former IU women's basketball player Tyra Buss has joined the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee as a women's basketball assistant coach. Buss coached at the University of Evansville last year. She played at Indiana University from 2014 to 2018, scored 2,364 points, and helped the Hoosiers win the WNIT championship and the postseason WNIT. Buss is a native of Mount Carmel, Illinois, and coaching is in her blood, with her mom, dad, and brothers coaches at Mount Carmel High School. It has been a big week for Indiana football recruiting. 3 recruits have committed to Tom Allen and the Hoosiers for the 2022 recruiting class. James Mons III, 5'10 cornerback out of Vero Beach, Florida, along with wide receiver Omar Cooper, 6'1", 185, from Lawrence North, and then offensive tackle Bray Lynch, 6'4", 280, out of Austin, Texas, and Westlake High School. The Hoosiers have 11 commits so far in the 2022 class, 3 from the state of Florida, 3 from Ohio, 2 from Indiana, 2 from Texas, and 1 from Arkansas. They have several positions, with a quarterback, 2 receivers, 2 offensive linemen, a defensive lineman, 2 linebackers, 2 defensive backs, and 1 special teams player. And remember, these are all verbal commits until they can sign a national letter of intent, which will be December of this year or February of 2022, when the national signing periods are allowed to take place. Bloomington South graduate Maddox Blackwell participated in the Indiana North-South Football All-Star Game last Friday night at Anderson University. Blackwell got in on the act when a field goal was blocked, and he picked it up and ran it back 72 yards for a touchdown. The South All-Stars beat the North 45-7. Blackwell joins the long list of Bloomington players to play in this All-Star game. There has been a Bloomington player in every All-Star game since 2014. Blackwell is headed to Indiana State to play football for Kurt Mallory. He was also a captain on the Bloomington South basketball team this year that made the semi-state losing to Lawrence North. He was also on the Bloomington South baseball team as well. That is a look at our top stories. When we come back, we will talk to Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer, high school and college coach Sam Alford. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Tom Brew, your publisher from Sports Illustrated Indiana, and I'm listening to Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network, and you should do the same.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest. He is Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer, high school basketball coach, college assistant coach, the now retired Sam Alford. Sam, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you. Thanks for taking time out to join me.
Oh, anytime, Nick. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy your conversation.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Now, a lot of people know you, of course, as a high school basketball coach and also know you as Steve Alford's father, but you were quite the athlete at Washington High School, graduating in 1960 with 14 varsity letters.
That was a long time ago. Back then, you could play all sports and you could. It's a lot different than it is now. I was very fortunate. I had good coaches, had good teammates, and had a lot of fun growing up in Washington.
Also, you played at Franklin College. You graduated there in 1964. 10 varsity letters, 21 points a game, led the nation in free throw shooting. So does it drive you crazy to see that kids nowadays don't make free throws the way they should?
Well, there again is the change of the times. When I was young, when I played, you practiced free throws every day. You spent your time with a goal, and now it's AAU all the time, and you're practicing defense, offense, set plays, and free throws kind of become a little bit of a forgotten art, but that's the nature of the game.
You played basketball, baseball, cross country, and tennis while at Franklin. How hard was it to just keep track and play all four sports in 1 year?
Well, it was hard, but I enjoyed it. I enjoy sports. I've always enjoyed sports, and being active is part of it. And as I said, I was fortunate to have good coaches, and they made it fun. And that's the thing about basketball, is you've got to teach youngsters that basketball is fun.
So what made you decide after college that coaching was the way you wanted to go in your adult life?
Well, I'd studied to become a teacher, and I didn't want to just be a teacher. Coaching had always been my blood. I loved baseball and basketball. And I had an opportunity to get a job out of college. as a junior high coach and a varsity assistant baseball coach, and it seemed too good to turn down.
You were a head coach for 29 years. You coached at Monroe City, South Knox, Martinsville, and then Newcastle. You were 452 and 245. What was your favorite part about coaching high school?
Well, I think your connection with the kids. You saw them in the classroom. You saw them at the lunchroom. You saw them after school. You had a good connection with them. You lived in the same town. You'd meet them in the grocery stores. You'd meet them in sporting goods stores. I think you had a good opportunity to really develop a good relationship with them.
You won 17 sectionals, 6 regionals. You had a semi-state title. What's your favorite moment as a high school coach?
Well, probably my favorite moment would be 1983. My youngest son was playing on the reserve team, and I brought him up for the last game of the year to let he and Steve play together for about a minute and a half at the end of the game. And we got the ball out underneath. Steve took it out, passed it in to Sean, and Sean scored. Makes Dad awfully proud. Now, that's probably one of my favorite moments. Not what you expected me to say.
It leads me into my next question, which is you coach both your sons, Steve and Sean. Of course, Steve, 1983 Mr. Basketball for you. Probably your most notable player. Went to IU and won the national championship in 1987. So as a high school coach and a dad, what is the dynamic like to coach your sons? And what was your wife saying during the time that you're coaching both of those kids?
Well, she always stood up for the kids. You know, it was always my fault and they were right and I was wrong. But it's a great experience. I was very fortunate to coach both of my sons, and they were very coachable. We had good experiences. We had winning teams. They both got college scholarships. It was just a very nice situation.
You had over 50 players move on to play college ball. How proud are you of that accomplishment?
Well, I'm very proud. You know, I think as a coach, yes, you like to win games. But when you get to my age in retirement, you look back at your players and you don't look back at the wins and the losses. You look back to what they've done as a family man, what they've done as a very positive influence in their communities. And I was very fortunate. I had a lot of nice players, a lot of good people.
Now, one thing that Steve took from you is that he always was a great free throw shooter here at IU. And of course, you led the nation in free throw shooting in college. So from a young age, how important was it to put free throw shooting at the top of your list to become a great ball player?
Well, I am sure I stressed it very hard. Steve was a little different. He started shooting ping pong balls into Tinker Toy cans and tennis balls into waste baskets. And when he was young, very young, and he was always obsessed with that, you know, ball and basket. When I developed a workout with him, once he got old enough to really start working at it, we had free throws as a very integral part of the workout. And he took it very seriously. You know, a lot of players, I know at camps, I ask players, what'd you shoot this year at the free throw line? If he had 83 or 84%, he'll bark out, you know, 83%. But if he shot like 50%, he'll give you an answer. Well, I don't really remember, but I'm improving on it. And with Steve, it was very important to him. He wanted to know exactly how many he made, how many he missed, and what his percentage was.
Newcastle's had a great history of athletics. Great basketball players to come out of there with, of course, Kent Benson, Steve, Darnell Archie, Brandon Miller, Zach Hahn, among others. So how important is it to you to get to see all these kids from Newcastle, a place that you spent 20 years, be successful at that next level?
Well, it's a statement for the program, and it's a positive statement for the people of Newcastle, because they've run a very good elementary program and still do. They run a very good junior high program. They take their basketball very serious and they work at it. And I think the players you named, they're all byproducts of the people in Newcastle working hard to develop and to encourage them to play basketball.
Now, Newcastle, depending on who you ask, because there's now this controversy that Seymour has a bigger gym than Newcastle. But for years, Newcastle had the largest gym in the world. So for you, coaching there 9 in and 9 out, what is that like to get to come to work every day, practice every day in the biggest high school gym in the world?
Well, it was a fantastic situation. I was very fortunate. I know in 1983, we outdrew the Indiana Pacers. We drew right at 9,000 people for the average for the season. We sold out. We sold out over half our games, which at that time was 9,200 people in a town of 18,000 people. So that speaks very highly for what basketball meant to the community of Newcastle.
Now, Newcastle hosts the Hall of Fame Classic every year. I know you are still involved in the Hall of Fame. So how unique is it for you and the folks in Newcastle to get to host the best, an invite-only tournament for the best teams and best players in the state every year?
Well, it's great for the community. It's great for the kids. They're invited. I think people, I think the coaches and the players still have that desire to play in the Hall of Fame Classic. And every year we get several teams have to apply, and we get several applications that indicate that people still are wanting to play in the field house. And we still, in a good year, draw 6,000, 5,000 people. And it's a good draw. It's a great experience for kids to get to play on that floor. And I think it's a win-win situation for everybody.
As a fan, I've gotten to be at that tournament 3 times, getting to see Edgewood when Garrett Butcher was playing, Bloomington South when JR was going up against Center Grove and Johnny Marlin, and Washington when Cody Zeller was there, and then also got to attend when Romeo Langford played for New Albany. And Newcastle is definitely one of my favorite places to go watch a ball game in the state of Indiana. What is your favorite gym to go watch a game at?
Well, I would say Newcastle. It has to be at the top of my list. I still enjoy going back home. You know, Washington, the Hatchet House, is a very great place to watch a ball game, and I still enjoy going back there. But that and Newcastle would have to be right at the top of the list. And then you go to the small schools, some of the unique gyms that are still around.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer Sam Alford after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
Everybody, I'm Hardy the Hat Guy. I think it's safe to say that I am Indiana's biggest fan of high school baseball. And I'll tell you what, I am a fan of Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. Catch him. He is interviewing people across the state, and I'm loving what he's doing.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest, Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer, retired high school coach Sam Alford. Sam, of course, we were talking about your experiences as a high school coach. Once Steve took the college head coaching jobs, you followed him at Southwest Missouri State, now Missouri State, and then to Iowa. So how unique was it to coach Steve and then be a coach under Steve?
Well, it was a great family experience. It kept us with our grandkids. It kept me working for my son. is something I had many opportunities to go to college, but I would never have been able to coach my sons if I'd taken them when I was a high school coach. And now it gave me a chance to try something different in my life and a little different pace.
What was your favorite moment while you were a college assistant coach, and how did you adjust from going from high school to the college game?
The biggest adjustment was living without bells ringing every hour and changing class. Go to work and nothing interrupted you all day. That was probably the biggest change. But my favorite moment, without a doubt, was the run that Southwest Missouri State had, that in the Big Ten tournament at Iowa. I was still assistant when we won the first Big Ten tournament there, and then I was assistant at Southwest Missouri State when we beat Tennessee and Wisconsin to go to the Sweet 16 and play Duke in 1999. So those were probably the two biggest highlights.
You retired in 2007 from coaching. What made you finally decide that that time was right?
Well, we would go play Pennsylvania, play Penn State, and we'd charter and get home at 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and be back in the office at 7. And we'd be in team meetings, and they'd ask me a question, and I wouldn't hear it because I was asleep. I knew that as a 62-year-old, there wasn't a place for an old man, and it's a young man's game today.
You were inducted into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame in 2002. Of course, the Hall of Fame is located in Newcastle. So what an honor for you to be inducted in kind of your adopted hometown, or the town that you coached in for a long time.
It was very nice. And if anyone hasn't been to the Hall of Fame, they should go and take a day and go through it. It's a wonderful building, great people. Chris May that runs it does an outstanding job. You know, for me to be involved in it is all my old buddies, all my old coaching buddies that were in there.
Of course, you've been retired for a long time, but as you told me before we jumped on the interview, you still keep pretty busy. You live in the Trafalgar area, which is Indian Creek High School, 7 grandkids, a great grandkid, and you're still involved in the Hall of Fame. So retired life has not slowed down for you, hasn't it?
Not really. I have a grandson that played in Portugal this year, and we got all of his games on computer. And I have a grandson that is the head coach at Huntington University, and we got all of his games on YouTube. And then I've got a son coaching in Nevada. We get all of his games on Mountain West. So many weeks we had a game every night. It certainly consumes your time, but it's certainly fun and enjoyable.
As you mentioned, Steve now coaches at the University of Nevada. Your grandson, Bryce, played at UCLA and is now in Portugal playing overseas. Your other grandson, Corey, played at New Mexico and UCLA and is now the head coach at Huntington University in Huntington, Indiana. So how great was it to see your grandsons get to play for their dad, just like Steve got to play for you?
Well, I knew in Steve's case, I knew what it was like to have your son, but I'm sure that it was a great opportunity for Corey and Bryce both to play for their dad. They're very close family, and he trained them just as I trained Steve. He had them in the gym all the time. You know, when you're a coach's son, you have a key to the gym. So they made very good use of it. They spent many, many hours in the gym.
The state of Indiana has had influx of great talent over the years in terms of high school players. So many have gone on to pro careers and in college careers. Who are some of the guys that you've followed recently?
Well, recently, I'm open to all of them. Of course, I was anxious to see how Romeo did with the Celtics. But still, you know, when they go off to college, I was anxious to see how Romeo did at IU. And now I'm anxious to see how the Firth boys does at Purdue next year. You know, they have their bigs coming back, and he's a very good talent. It's anxious to see just how he fits in with them. So I take interest in all of them, but I had a player at Martinsville, Jerry Seasting, that played at Purdue and then went on to the NBA and played 11 years in the NBA and then coached in it for several years. So that kept me interested in the game. And with Steve won a Big Ten. He won a NCAA championship and Olympic gold medal, and Ceasing won an NBA title. So it kept me very excited during my coaching years of following players.
And of course, you know, back when you're coaching a Mr. Basketball such as Steve and he's getting the notoriety to attend IU, I'm sure that there was a lot of pressure that was put on both him and you. How did you guys as a family handle that notoriety and pressure with Steve as a high school kid?
Well, we tried to say we left it in the gym every night, but that would be a lie. You can't do it. The news media and the importance of basketball in the state of Indiana, it won't let you relax and enjoy it. You have to just endure it and live it. And Steve did a very good job. He was very, very level-headed with it. And things that happened to him, like he didn't go to his senior prom because he was in a basketball tournament in Pennsylvania. It happens that, you know, some families love their basketball, which the Alford family does. We like our basketball, and we're very lucky. Both Corey Bryce, myself, and Sean and Steve have good wives, and you have to have good wives to put up with all the stuff we do.
What are the dinner conversations like around the Alford household? Is it all basketball?
Well, it's a lot easier now than it was 20 years ago with Steve playing. And now we talk about the grandkids. Bryce is still playing and Corey is now coaching. So we talk about what he did right and wrong in his game and what shots Bryce made and missed in his game. So it stays pretty well basketball.
What do you think the biggest change has been through the years as the game of basketball has evolved from the time that you played and coached to now with your grandsons playing and coaching?
Well, I didn't get to see very many years of three-point shot. That was one of the changes. And, of course, the dunk, when they allowed the dunk, that was another major change. Now, you know, you have a lot of things that change from year to year in college basketball. High school in Indiana stayed pretty well the same. I think the thing that's really fighting now, or not maybe not fighting, but have to investigate is the three-point line, as they want it to come into, you know, they want a shot clock with it, so it speeds up the game. And now they've accepted the three-point line, and it's gone over well all these years. Now they want the shot clock, and they want that gets more three-point shots up. So I think our big answer right now is the clock. Is it going to come in or not? It has come into many states already.
Do you think that Indiana will ever implement it?
Oh, it's hard to say anymore with the pressure you get from the outside. It's hard to say never. I'd say there's a lot more excitement for it now than there was 10 years ago when they started talking about it. Just like class basketball, you know, they started talking about it, and then all of a sudden it's here, and you'll probably find the same thing with the shot clock. You know, we'll talk about it for a little while, and then we'll wake up one day and it'll be here.
Well, Sam, I really appreciate the time. Congratulations to you and your entire family. You've been a great ambassador for Indiana high school basketball, college basketball, and all the best to you and to Steve and your grandsons. And I really appreciate the time that you had to join me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Enjoyed.
My thanks to Sam Alford for being my guest this week. Former Indiana University outfielder Kyle Schwarber has been selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which will take place tomorrow night at Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. Schwarber, who started his career with the Chicago Cubs, is now with the Washington Nationals, and he was on a tear in June, hitting 16 home runs in an 18-game span in 17 days. However, Schwarber suffered a hamstring injury, and he will miss the All-Star game. This is his first All-Star selection after being drafted by the Chicago Cubs with the fourth pick in the 2014 Major League Baseball draft. He played for the Cubs from 2015 to 2020, and he won a World Series with the Cubs in 2016. The United States beat Canada 92-86 in the semifinals of the FIBA Under-19 Basketball Championships in Riga, Latvia. Three Purdue players are participating, as Jaden Ivey, sophomore-to-be, scored 2 points. Caleb First, freshman-to-be, scored 4 points. And he's also 2021 Indiana Mr. Basketball for the United States. Purdue sophomore-to-be, Zach Edey, had 16 points and 16 rebounds. The United States and France meet for the gold medal, while Canada plays Serbia for bronze. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.